Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Well, good evening. If you will be turning in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 31, Deuteronomy chapter 31, that's where we will start this evening. And if you could have a theme for today, we don't normally do themes for the day. Andrew's sermons are pretty well broken up, and he has different themes for Sunday morning and Sunday night. But I assure you, Jonathan and I did not conspire together to have a theme of victory in Jesus today here at Graymere. But nevertheless, that was the theme of Jonathan's excellent sermon this morning, and it will be the theme of mine tonight. My sermon this evening is entitled, Win in 2016 with God. And we're going to be looking at several scriptures, the first of which in Deuteronomy 31, and we'll be looking at 1 John, and then a passage in John as well. We just love winners, don't we? We love winners. Some people don't like winners, especially if it's not your team, right? You may not like those winners, but we love winners. We love to see people win. We love to see people be victorious. There may be no greater mystery in professional sports than the Buffalo Bills in the early 1990s. You may recall, if you were living back at that time, that the Bills were able to advance to every Super Bowl for four consecutive years from 1990 to 1994. And notice I didn't say that they won the Super Bowl. In a recent documentary by ESPN entitled The Four Falls of Buffalo, it was remarked that there is, quote, no greater joy in sports than winning the Super Bowl and no greater pain in sports than losing one. The Bills were a team that just couldn't finish. And it was in dramatic fashion. While hindsight is 20/20, and looking back, it was certainly a great accomplishment to even play in four Super Bowls. There are four NFL teams that have never played in a Super Bowl. It was a great accomplishment, but the inability to just finish the season the way you started has haunted this proud football franchise for two decades now. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. What matters most is what happens in the end. Wouldn't you agree? With several things that we look at in the Bible, and we're finishing up an entire season where most of the world dedicates to the birth of Jesus Christ. And while that is a significant event, it's not so nearly as significant as the way Jesus died and He was resurrected. Jesus had what was it was the greatest comeback in history. To be put to death on a cruel cross and be raised by God 3 days later was the most focal point in global history. It not only showed Him to be the one true Son of God, but it showed everyone that He was who He said He was. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Maybe you're finishing this year, maybe you're sitting in the pews down there and you're finishing this year on a bad note, or what you think is a bad note. Maybe you've got some things going on, maybe you're a little down, maybe you're battling some health difficulties, maybe you're in a bit of a financial bind. Maybe you're a little lost spiritually, maybe you just haven't been felt fulfilled in your spiritual life in quite a while, maybe this year. Maybe you haven't been the Christian that you wanted to be this year. Maybe you didn't attend worship as faithfully or attend classes as faithfully as you wanted to. You didn't get involved as much as you wanted to. You didn't study as much as you wanted to. A new year, though, is a perfect opportunity for a fresh start. It's an opportunity to turn over a new leaf. Nothing really changes, if you think about it. Nothing really changes except maybe the weather. And I know I'm speaking for us when we say I hope the weather changes back to something normal here in a few days. But nothing really changes except the calendar, yet we look at it as an opportunity to change. An opportunity to resolve ourselves and make things better. The Buffalo Bills had not one, not two, not three, but four opportunities and they did not finish strong. They didn't capitalize. But I'm telling you, as Christians, the story ends in a very, very good way, and we'll talk about that near the end of the sermon. They didn't capitalize, but we can. Tonight I'm going to give you three reasons why you can win in 2016. Number one, we can win in 2016 with God because we have the power to change. We have the power to change. There always seems to be a guarantee in life that change will happen. Change is something that we tend to fear, that we become anxious about because we don't maybe feel control in our life. The good news is that God has a plan for your life, and it's a plan of hope, it's a plan for a future for you, and it's a plan for you to prosper. If we trust in God and we allow the change to grow in us and become more like Jesus Christ every single day in how we respond and how we act, then we are promised that all things will work together for good for those that love Him and keep His commandments. As I look back in this year, 2015, a lot has changed for me and my family that I really never saw coming. This time last year, I was very busily planning a youth group calendar, youth group activities, youth group classes, youth group events, all sorts of things for Church Street. And I had gone through a little bit of a dip in my, I guess, career. I had come a little jaded. I was a little burnt out. And through some help with some mentors, through some help with some rest, some time off, some different things that we did, some events that I went to, I was revitalized. I was ready to get to work. And then, Graymere came knocking. And it was an opportunity that my family and I could not pass up. It has been different. It has been a different kind of challenge working here, and it was one that I didn't necessarily expect. But my family and I think, have dealt with the changes that came to us, and I know my family has responded in a great way. Change, though, is inevitable. Sometimes people say, well, I don't like change. And to me, that's when I say that, or when I want to say that, that to me is just an excuse not to push myself. And that's an excuse not to test myself and to realize the true servant of God that I can be. The greatest thing about change, though, is the power lies within us to make the change in our own lives. We can also choose how we respond to those changes around us. God has given us this uncanny ability to evaluate what needs to change in our lives and to have the ability to make that happen. A new year is a great time to rededicate yourself to the service of God. We can have assurance that God is going to be faithful to us in times of change, whether that's in our own lives or in the lives of people around us. This well-known passage that I pointed out here in Deuteronomy illustrates this perfectly for us. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Very similar to what Jonathan read this morning. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them, because the Lord your God goes with you, and He will never forsake you. Just as I might take a walk with my little boys or my spouse down a road or down a path, I like to think that God is walking right beside me. That He's right, and you know, the famous poem of the footprints in the sand, sometimes He's carrying me. And that's okay. It's important to note, though, that God won't change. Ever. We are the ones who must change. We have the power to change, but God is not the one who needs to change. The world and the devil have a great way of trying to convince us that God will conform to whatever box we want to put Him in. That's just not how it is. Malachi 3, verse 6, God says it Himself. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. I'm reminded of that well-known story of the battleship that was out at sea, and the captain, who was worried about the deteriorating weather conditions, stayed on the bridge. And he wanted to make sure that everything was going according to plan. And one night, the lookout on the bridge suddenly shouted, Captain, a light bearing on starboard. And he said, is it stationary or is it moving astern? Meaning, was it moving or was it just sitting there? And he replied that it was stationary. And he said, this meant the battleship was on a dangerous collision course with the other ship. The captain immediately ordered the signalman at the time. He said, we are on a collision course. I advise you to change your course 20 degrees east. Back came the response from the other ship, you change your course 20 degrees west. Agitated by the response, the captain angrily signaled his signalman and said, "I am a captain. You change your course 20 degrees east." That came a second response. "I am a second-class seaman. You still had better change course 20 degrees west." The captain was absolutely furious. He shouted at his signalman to send back a final message. "I am a battleship. Change course 20 degrees east right now." And then back came the final response. "You change your course 20 degrees west. I am a lighthouse." We've heard that story many times, probably, but we have to understand that the Lord is our lighthouse. And no matter how much fussing or how much complaining or how much sin or how much the devil tricking us or how much any of these external factors happens, God is not changing. He's not going to change for us. He's not going to change for anybody. He's not going to change for anything. We are the ones who must do the changing. Number two, we can win in 2016 because Jesus has already overcome the world. Jesus has already overcome the world. Jesus himself says in John 16, verse 33, he says, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." You see, that's great news. Because we can reason from that one statement that Jesus made that if he has already overcome the world, then there is nothing in this world that should overcome us. In fact, if Jesus says at this same verse, we will have tribulation. We will be tested. We will be tempted by the world. But he says these things so that we can have peace. Because he has already overcome the world. I want to invite you to turn over to 1 John chapter 5. I want to read two verses in 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 4 and 5. "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" This passage is all about victory. We just sang the song. We sang it twice today, as a matter of fact. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, he bought me with his redeeming blood. That is our victory. But what does victory, what is winning, what does that have to do with our maturing love for God? Because our love for God should be constantly maturing. We as Christians live in a real world with real obstacles, real temptations, real pain. Sometimes you may read scripture or you may come to worship or Bible class and feel like it's just not the real world. That the Bible isn't speaking to you, that it's speaking to all these other perfect people that don't have any problems. It's not easy to obey God. If it was easy to obey God, everybody would do it and everybody would have no problem. It's much easier to drift in the world, to make our own directions, to do our own thing. But the Christian, right here, the terminology used is born of God. We may look at that phrase in Scripture and kind of gloss over it and go ahead but we need to know that this is what gives us the ultimate victory. This is what can help us win. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The word for victory is actually the Greek word nike. You'll notice a derivative of that is Nike. It's a shoe company, right? They decided to name it after a Greek goddess of victory. But the word victory is nike. It simply means victory. And those two words, overcome and victory, are favorites of John. He used them both in his gospel and in his letters. Our victory is the result of our faith. And we grow in faith as we grow in love. There's a legend of an old soldier who was serving in the army of Alexander the Great. The soldier wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. He wasn't doing his job. He wasn't acting bravely. He wasn't fighting. He wasn't pressing. He was cowering, basically, and falling back. And the great general, Alexander, he approached the young man and said, "What is your name, soldier?" And the man replied, "My name is Alexander, sir." And the general looked at him straight in the eye and said firmly, "Soldier, get in there and fight or change your name." What is our name as Christians? What is our name? We are called Christians. children of God, the born-again ones of God. Alexander the Great wanted his name to be a symbol of courage. And our name as Christians carries with it the assurance of victory. It's not a hope of victory. It's not a chance of victory. It is the assurance of victory. To be born of God means to share in God's victory. When we are victorious, we have overcome the world, which leads us into our final point this evening. We can win in 2016 because you're back in the winning side already. If you call yourself a Christian, if you are on that team, we're back in the winning side already. We need to understand that God is on our side, and it's the winning side. When we feel overwhelmed, it's important to go to God in prayer. I want to challenge you this year. Go to God in prayer. I want to challenge you to spend 5 minutes in prayer every single day. Spend more than that. And you'll find that it will change your life. When you feel overwhelmed, it's important to go to God in prayer and confess our inability and our inadequacy. We've got to be honest if we're afraid and tell God exactly how we feel. Sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we just kind of, we don't do that. In 2 Chronicles, I want to kind of read a little bit from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you want to be turning over there with me. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, Jehoshaphat says to God in prayer, "We are helpless in the face of this large army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but we look for you for help." We look to you for help. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like that there was a problem in your marriage or in your career or somewhere in your life that you just thought was completely overwhelming? You start at the beginning of the week and you think, maybe I can handle this. Monday morning, you're ready to go thinking you can handle this, but by Wednesday, you're just running on empty. Maybe you felt like the author of this poem here that wrote, "The world had a hopeful beginning, but man spoiled it all by sinning. We trust the story will end in God's glory, but right now, the other side's winning." You ever felt like that? Jonathan talked this morning about don't watch the news. It'll just be depressing. Don't pay attention to stuff in the media. We'll try to twist everything that everybody says into what they want it to say. We can pick up the newspaper, we can look at the news, and we can see like the bad guys are winning. The kids are killing the kids and other kids in schools. The moral and spiritual climate of our society is collapsing. And it looks like the bad guys are just winning on all fronts. So what do? You say, "God, we're powerless. We don't know what to do." We tell God how we feel. It's interesting to compare to verse 12 when he says that we're powerless to verse 6 here in 2 Chronicles. Jehoshaphat says, "God, you have all the power in the world." It doesn't matter if you're powerless, if God has power. If you put your trust in Him, He'll take care of you. I tonight don't have that power. You tonight don't have that power. And we don't have to pretend that we do. All that we have to do is trust in God, and He has all the power that we need. It's difficult to express our inadequacy. It's difficult to express our shortcomings sometimes and what we're weak in, even to God. But when we turn over control to Him, we can trust that He will bring us that ultimate victory. So tonight, in conclusion, I want to tell you, the Buffalo Bills, they couldn't win the game that mattered. They had the highest winning percentage of any NFL team those 4 years. But yet, the game that mattered at the very end of the season, they just couldn't finish. If we trust in God and we fight those battles for Him, it may look hopeless. It may look like we're going to lose. It may look like the bad guys are winning. But we will have victory in the end. How can you win in 2016? Just sum it up in this one phrase: trust in God. Trust in God to bring you the victory. So tonight I want to ask you, the Buffalo Bills didn't have a good story to their ending to their stories, all four of them. But this evening, how does your story end? What happened in your past doesn't matter. Only moving forward is what God cares about. We can win with God because we have the power to change. We can win with God because we have Jesus who has already overcome the world. And we can win with God because we've backed the winning side already. Tonight, if you're in need of prayers, if you're in need of anything spiritual, any kind of spiritual help, spiritual counseling, we can help you with that this evening. If you want to become a child of God and you want to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins and you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can do that this evening. Why don't you come right now while we stand and while we sing?